Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to episode 72 of The Gut Goddess Show. And this week I'm talking to you about my daily and weekly habits and routines that I have to support my energy, my well-being, and all-round health, which is very exciting. So I recorded a podcast episode 35, probably maybe a year and a half ago, of my kind of daily routines and habits that I do. But that was pre-baby. So I thought I would do an update post-baby of how that has affected it, and just what life looks like and what are the kind of non-negotiable routines and habits that I have that I feel like make a big difference in terms of my mental, physical well-being overall, which is fun. But before we dive on into that, I want to let you know two things. Number one, have you left me a review yet? If you haven't, I would love it if you did. This leaving a review is just a really nice way of saying thanks for all the time, energy, and money that goes into running this podcast. And it's a great way of other people seeing it, are giving me feedback. So you can head over to iTunes, just search The Gut Goddess Show and see it in there. Otherwise, I am now back from holidays. So I was in France for 2 weeks, which was lovely. And in the next couple of months, I'm reshuffling some things, and so have some more availability for one-to-one clients. So if you are sick of going it alone, you want to see some results in, and you know, see some results quickly. Like I work with people over 12 to 14 weeks, and that is enough time to see some big results. If you're fed up of being fatigued, you're tired of being tired, you're sick of being bloated, you're stuck, you're sick of feeling stuck all the time, then why don't we hop on the phone and just figure out if that would be a good fit? So you can head over to my website, supernaturallyhealthy.org, and just click the work with me page, and you can find out more information. If it feels like a good fit, you can book in a call and we can get things started, because I would love to work with you. And I feel pretty confident, if you've been listening to this podcast a while, and I think you're the kind of woman that I could most certainly help. And I've worked with hundreds of women and some men as well, and help them to kind of just get their belly and their energy back, which is awesome. So I'd love to speak with you. Otherwise, let's get on with the show. So today I'm talking about my daily and weekly healthy habits. So what are the things that I do that help with my energy, help me to feel good, help me with my relationship with food, help with my, skin and all of that sort of stuff. So I recorded an episode, I think it was episode 35, so it's quite a while ago, on my daily healthy habits and routines that I do. But I thought I wanted to record another kind of update, because that was pre-baby. And obviously when big things happen in your life, maybe you change job, you get married, you have a baby, something happens, then routines and habits change. So I wanted to explain and go through how I have shifted in terms of my daily habits, my daily routines, and how that shifted with having a baby, and what things haven't shifted, and basically how I now manage it, because I had a lot more time to myself and in my day before having a baby that I just don't have now. So whether you've had a baby and transitioning into that phase of life or not, or whether this is just about managing change, you know, maybe you've changed job recently, or maybe life's gotten busier because you've started studying, or whatever it is, I hope this episode is going to show you, and I'm going to share basically how I have managed big transitions and still prioritizing my health and feeling good. Because it's really common when we do these big life transitions, and having a baby is a big obvious example, where actually your healthy habits and your self-care just goes down the toilet and everything goes to utter shit, and you just sort of go into survival mode, and you know, it takes a couple of months or a year for you to feel the consequences, but eventually you do feel the consequences of burnout, of fatigue, of poor health, of terrible food choices, or whatever it is. So, and this is going to be a little bit of how I've managed it what I do. And hopefully that's going to inspire you to create your own daily and weekly healthy habits. So the reason the previous episode, episode 35, I talked about my daily health habits and routines was this time I realized actually that just at the stage of life that I'm at, there's certain things that I don't do daily. I'm actually, but instead of giving myself a hard time about that, I am focusing more on weekly routines and weekly habits. So I'll talk a little bit about meditation. I maybe don't manage to meditate every day, but I try and do it at least weekly, several times a week. I try to go for at least 4 times a day, but I'm also not setting myself up for beating myself up and being a bully to myself by being like, Kezia, you've not meditated every day, you failed. No. That's why I've shifted this from daily routines to a weekly routine, because if I'm doing something several times a week, that still feels really good to me. And I'm changing how I think about that and making sure that I'm setting myself up for success. That if I meditate 3 times a week, that's actually great. 3 times a week of meditating is so much better than no meditating in a week, and actually really shifting that focus. So I would encourage you, if you've been trying to do the couch to 5K like me, and you are just not able to do it, and you're wanting to go for a run every day or do exercise a day, maybe shift that. Maybe think about, okay, I'm going to try and exercise weekly. And if you exercise once in a week, then celebrate it. Don't just be like, I only exercised once in a week. You exercised once in a week. That's awesome. And if you can shift from being like, I have to do things every day to I have to do things every week, you'll probably feel a little bit more liberated and like a bit more like the kick-ass woman that you are. So what are some of my daily habits and weekly ones? So if you haven't listened to the episode 35, go back and listen to that, because that is still filled with some super helpful stuff. Apologies, I got a brief interruption. I forgot I had some muffins cooking in the oven. Some apple, carrot and lemon muffins, if you must know. I've not tried them yet. I'm hoping they'll be tasty. But anyway, go and listen to episode 35 for more of my daily habits and routines. But what I'm going to be talking about today is the kind of 6-ish things that I do in order to help my energy, in order to support my mental well-being, in order to look after myself and have self-care, in order to help me to really make progress. Now, these are just a handful of things. I could actually think about a couple of key things that I would do in a week. But these are some of the key things that I think help move the needle from a biochemical perspective, energy perspective, hormone perspective, mental health, self-care, self-love, mindset, and all of these different things. So, and a couple of these things haven't changed. So if you have listened to episode 35, you might see common themes running through this, but there's a couple of stuff that hasn't changed. And one of the things that has not changed since before having a baby, and I've kept it the same throughout the last 10 months of having a small child, is breakfast. Making sure I prioritize a really good breakfast every day. Now, there has been periods of time in this postpartum period when it's been a bit crazy and I've sort of grazed my way through the morning, and I really noticed the difference. And I've actually kind of had to shut that crap down relatively soon, because having a good quality breakfast with healthy proteins and fats has been really useful. I've also found postpartum that actually really increasing my protein intake in the morning has also been really, really helpful. So even ramping it up even more really helps me. And that's probably just to do with the different stresses and things and keeping blood sugar balanced. But making sure I have a kick-ass breakfast. Now this, in my nutritional books and in my community and with my clients, a kick-ass breakfast means healthy fats, healthy proteins, and some sort of ideally vegetable in there, or some sort of low sugar fruit for your fiber and nutrient intake. So that could be green smoothies. I have my 10-day green smoothie challenge, which you can find on my website. Or that might be having cooked breakfast of, like this morning, I had scrambled eggs and smoked salmon and I think just some chopped spring onions. Really kind of quick, easy. I know that sounds fancy, but I had a client at 8 a.m. this morning. I was making that breakfast at 10 to 8. And then eating it all before I saw my client. I've had, you know, a busy day. It's a mindset thing. People think, oh, having eggs takes loads of time. It doesn't, actually. I mean, it maybe takes more time than like emptying a bowl of cereal and putting milk on it, but the benefit and the nutritional benefit is so much greater. So making sure you have a great breakfast, that's been something that I do daily. This isn't a weekly thing. Every day I make sure I have a great breakfast. I might be intentionally kind of fasting overnight, like we all do. We all fast overnight unless you're getting up at 3 a.m. and having a meal. I'll sometimes intentionally, I try to every night have a 12-hour gap. So this is probably another daily habit, actually, that I would do. And I've been more aware of since having a baby, just because in those early months, I was getting up in the night. And so I was eating whenever I felt hungry. And then once I realized that I didn't need that anymore, my baby was sleeping through the night, I became more aware of just making sure I gave my digestive system and my body a break overnight through fasting. Now, a lot of the time this gets called intermittent fasting, but I don't really follow the general intermittent fasting philosophy, which is, you know, don't eat any breakfast, don't eat until 12, just have coffee. That would honestly be a complete disaster for me and would make me feel much, much worse. And I don't recommend that to clients. But what I do is try and make sure I fast for a minimum of 12 hours at night. So last night, I had my dinner about 6:30, and then I was seeing clients in the evening. And then so this morning, I had my breakfast at about, I don't know, 10 to 8. So that actually meant I fasted for 13 hours last night. And to be honest, that wasn't, sometimes it's not that intentional. It's just, I work a lot of the evenings. So it's just the way it is. But that is another thing that I do every day. It's just helps me with my blood sugar regulation. It helps me with my energy. It gives my digestive system a break. If you're eating at like 10 o'clock at night and then going to sleep and then waking up and having breakfast at 6 a.m., you are giving your digestive system a bit of a break, but a longer break of about 12 hours can be really helpful. It's also been really useful if you're looking to support your insulin and your metabolism in terms of weight loss, then making sure you have that fasting period is important. Now, the biggest setback I get from this is people like, oh, well, I'm hungry. Like, I am actually hungry at night. And if you are hungry, then you do need to eat. But if you are hungry at 9 o'clock at night, it's because you're not eating enough in the day. So you need to make sure that all three of your meals have good quality fat, good quality protein, they have some vegetables and some fiber in there. If you are genuinely hungry at 9 o'clock, you're maybe not just not eating enough for breakfast, not eating enough for lunch. And most people eat enough at dinner time. It's often that deficit from breakfast and lunch that's a problem. So that's why having a mega breakfast helps. And don't skip breakfast. Even if you've read about all the amazing benefits of intermittent fasting, I rarely find with the women that I work with that skipping breakfast is a good idea. If you're perfectly healthy, your energy is great, your hormones are healthy, and you're not stressed, then maybe you could skip breakfast and intermittent fasting might work really, really well for you. That could be the case. But just generally for my community, women I work with, the best time to fast is actually to finish dinner early. So have dinner at 6:30 and then not eat until breakfast. And then you'll still be getting a really lovely period of time. And there is so many benefits to fasting, but you've just got to do it in a way that's not stressful to your body. So that's a daily thing, kind of. I probably don't do it. I generally try and do a minimum of 12 hours every day, but maybe I've just been on holiday. So yeah, I wasn't really doing it then. Like, you know, we're having cheese boards at 9:30 and chocolate and things like that. But in general, probably 5 or 6 nights of the week, I will try and finish eating by 7 or 8 o'clock and then not have breakfast until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock the next day. That's generally how it works. And that works with my schedule. You know, I'm not actually waking up at 5 a.m. If I was waking up at 5 a.m., I would be having breakfast by 7 a.m. at the latest. So, you know, take this all depending on your routine. But that is something that I do, a 12-hour fast every day. Now, meditation, like I mentioned. Now, that used to be something I tried to do every day. As at the moment, just with finding that 10-minute slot where I'm alone without my baby around is tricky. I do have him in nursery so I can work, but I like to work when he's at nursery. There's a lot to do. So I've shifted that from a daily to doing that weekly. I try to meditate probably about 3 or 4 times a week, and I love it when I do it. So if I can do it daily, I will. And some of that is I maybe just need to create a little bit more of a routine in my mornings. I've not really gotten that. My little boy sleeps quite well, but he doesn't always wake up at the same time. He might wake up at 6 some days. He might wake up at 7 some days. And so he doesn't wake up at a set time. So I've struggled to just create a routine. But I think for me, it'd probably be really helpful if I could just, I think I just need 30 minutes in a morning where my husband's getting him up and ready and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, I'm working on it. But at the moment, I meditate probably 3 or 4 times a week, sometimes in an evening, if I've not managed it in the day, sometimes in the morning. I'm not going to work and he's going to nursery. So that's become a weekly thing, and I've been focusing on what I have been doing with that. And I'm actually really proud that I'm meditating the level that I am. It's only for 10 minutes. I would love to do more, but right now, that level of meditation is good. I'm proud of that. So if you haven't tried meditation, then I have done an episode on that I'll link to in the show notes. Do make sure you go and listen to it. I know meditation can feel like, ugh, just like this fashionable thing that everyone's doing that's actually totally useless, but it really isn't. It is a really, really beneficial. It really can help with your digestion, just all the things it can be really, really useful for. So if you haven't done that, haven't tried it, then make sure that you do. Okay, so another weekly, so meditation would be a weekly habit. Another weekly habit I have is movement and exercise. So this has taken me some time to get into after having a baby. I had quite a lot of pelvic floor stuff to recover from, just a lot of physical recovery. But I started just with walking. So I was trying to walk every day initially. And now about 3 or 4 times a week, I try to do intentional exercise. So that would be, I started just doing Bar 3, which is like a type of online exercise class that's quite low impact, low intensity, but good for building muscles or body weight generally, which is really good. And I've also recently started my Couch to 5K, which is exciting. So if you didn't know, I used to run a lot. I used to do half marathons. I loved running. And then the typical runner's story, I got injured, didn't probably train properly, got a little bit addicted to exercise, to be honest, and haven't run for ages just because of hip injury. So I've been trying to slowly get back into doing my Couch to 5K. So exercise for me, I used to love to exercise probably 5 or 6 times a week before baby, you know, be it yoga or a gym class or just a hill walk, like, because I genuinely love moving. I feel so good when I move my body, and those endorphins, I feel so strong and capable and powerful. I honestly exercise more for my mental health than I do for my waistline or whatever. It's completely a mental health thing for me. With exercise, I feel really good. It helps with my energy. And also I have a relatively sedentary job. I sit at my computer and have my consultations online. I work from home. I don't even have a commute. I really need to make sure that I add that in. But since having a baby, fitting in kind of 3 to 4 times a week has been more realistic. So if I can do a bar class, and with doing my Couch to 5K, I've been adding in, that's 3 runs a week. So I've been switching it up a little bit, slowly increasing how much I can run depending on what feels good. But exercising weekly, moving your body is so important. But it's worth saying, this isn't just about exercise. You know, I say I do 3 to 4 bits of intentional exercise a week, but every day I think about moving. You know, I often feel like people get sucked into the trap of, well, I do 2 spin classes a week, so I exercise. But if you actually sat on your ass all the time, all day, not moving your body, that actually isn't that healthy. We need, our bodies are created to move. If you don't walk anywhere, you get taxis everywhere, you just aren't moving. Like, I'll try to do jumping jacks or run on the spot or do squats just throughout the day just to move my body, not as formal exercise, but just because it does my body good. So remember, don't get stuck in the, oh, well, I've gone to the gym 3 times this week, that's all I need to do. No, every day you're designed to move. Now, you don't need to run every day. In fact, I would recommend you do not run every day at all, but you do need to move every day. Chase your kids around, jump on a trampoline, go for a walk, do some squats while the pasta is boiling, do some lunges, do some push-ups on the kitchen counter while, yeah, I don't know, you listen to a podcast. But moving your body every day is important. And exercise, formal exercise, I, at the moment, I'm doing about 3 or 4 times a week. And I'd say if you can do that anywhere between 2, 3, and 4 times a week, that is great. Really, really good. So exercise and movement, that is both a daily and a weekly habit. Okay, another daily habit that I have that I've done for a long time, but I don't think I talked about in the previous episode, is having medicinal herbs via tea. So basically drinking herbal tea. Every day I will make sure I have some sort of herbal tea. And this was a great thing to do initially, just in those days and weeks after having a baby, I had a herbalist make me up a special kind of postpartum herbal tea, because someone making you a cup of tea is pretty easy. If you're at the office, making a cup of tea is not too weird. If you're at work, having cups of tea and actually having kind of herbal strength quality teas is a really great way of kind of getting some herbal medicine into you. So at the moment, it's the summer and I've been doing some different detoxing and cleansing focus. And also I struggled a lot with hay fever in June. I've been having lots of nettle tea, which is a great source of some minerals and nutrients, but also great for your histamine, for allergic reactions, and for your liver for that kind of cleansing. And in the winter time, I would tend to go more towards like turmeric-y ginger teas, even like rooibos type things. But every day, making sure you're having 2 to 3 cups of teas, not only is going to help you stay hydrated, you're going to get the medicinal properties of that herbal tea. So my favorite herbal teas are dandelion tea and nettle teas, because they are really helpful for your liver. But you might have a spearmint tea, a pucker tea, or a detox tea, nettle, fennel, ginger, matcha, whatever. Those are all great options. So how many herbal teas are you having a day? It's such a great and easy way to support your digestion, stay hydrated, and help your body. So herbal teas is definitely a daily habit for me. It's often the first drink I'll have in the day. Then I'll probably have a rooibos at some point and then another herbal tea in the evening. So having 2 to 3 herbal teas, I really notice the difference. It really makes me feel good. And it's just easy to do. I mean, everyone loves a cup of tea. You just got to figure out which ones you love and do it. The next kind of weekly habit I would have is bathing, which you're probably all very happy about. Good job. This is a recorded podcast. But having baths, I don't do this every day, but having, well, actually, when I immediately had my baby, I was having a bath several times a day just to help. But I would bathe probably at least once a week, ideally 2 to 3 times. And recently, I traditionally have always done Epsom salt baths, which are great, where I'd have a hot bath, get it as hot as I can tolerate, add 2 cups of Epsom salts. And that's a great way of helping you detox and sweat and detox through the skin, also helping you get some magnesium into your system. And it's a really nice, chilled self-care thing to do. But recently, I've also been experimenting with cold baths. So just running a bath with cold water and sitting in it. And that's also been really helpful, actually, in terms of inflammation. Especially, I've been doing it after I've gone for runs just to make sure I really recover well. And I've just been experimenting with it. So that's a new thing. I've not quite done ice baths where people put ice in the bath, but I have been doing cold baths. And because I actually historically, I'm really intolerant to cold. So if I were to jump in a loch and it's cold, I've honestly felt like my heart stopped beating and it's not felt very safe. So I've been, and that's a sign of kind of, from my understanding of not a lot of resiliency in my cardiovascular health. So I've been intentionally just working on that. And guys, I'm a geek with this kind of stuff. I love experimenting with these. I'm like, oh, a cold bath, you say? Oh, it reduces inflammation. Great, let's give it a go. I'll eventually build up to ice baths, but I'm going super slow and just slowly building that resiliency into my body. So, but most people are not going to have a cold bath, but an Epsom salt bath twice a week for a minimum of 20 minutes with 2 cups of Epsom salts in, honestly, so good for you. So, so good. So I've been doing that every week. It's also a little bit of me time. I find it really hard. You know, I struggle to stress in the bath. I often read, I might meditate, and it's a really lovely little bit of time to myself because it's in the evening, my boy's in bed. I can just chill the heck out. So that is another thing that I do weekly that I think, I know it sounds a bit trite, oh, have a bath with Epsom salts, but honestly, that transdermal absorption of the magnesium from the Epsom salts and that heat that's causing you to sweat and help to detoxify through your sweat, it's super beneficial. I often recommend it to clients as a bit of a supplement. So that's something I do weekly that I feel like really helps with my energy, helps with my sleep, helps with my skin, helps with my mental well-being. And the next thing that I do in terms of making sure I eat well and reducing my stress throughout the week is meal planning and shopping. So prior to having a baby, I did a lot of online shopping, so it was just easier. But I've been trying to reduce my plastic waste and kind of just general waste consumption. So I do it now in person. So every week I try to take 10 or 15 minutes to write out a meal plan for the week and do a shopping list. Now, I don't naturally want to do this. I'm not going to lie. I'm not like, woohoo, it's meal planning time. I am so excited. I'm not. I'm often a bit like, ugh, to do it. But the reason I do it is if I don't meal plan, then I can get way more stressed during the week deciding what to have for dinner and being like, oh, what do I have for lunch? Oh, what do I have for dinner? And by 5 o'clock, sometimes I just feel like it just stresses me out, but like another decision to make, and I might not have the food in the house, and what should I eat, and what do I fancy? Are we going to have pasta? Are we going to have salmon? Are we going to have... So I take that 15 minutes. So I did it on Sunday when I got back from holiday, just writing out a meal for meal plan, putting it on the fridge, writing a shopping list, getting the shopping in and doing that really helps me to feel more chilled. So like this morning, quickly glanced at the meal plan and I'm having courgette and chickpea and spinach kind of stew thing. Great. I'm not deciding that. I know where the recipe is. I know I have everything in. It takes about half an hour to make. Done. Sorted. So meal planning really helps my stress levels, to be honest. If I'm deciding every day what to eat, oh, by the end of the week, I'm just done with it and just want to eat, like, I don't know, chocolate or bananas. It just goes to pot, shall we say. So that's a weekly habit that I do. It's not very sexy. It's not very exciting, but it means that I eat good food and that I have less stress throughout the week. So those are a couple of my weekly and daily habits. So making sure I have a good breakfast, meditation, exercise and movement, herbal teas, bathing, either a cold bath or Epsom salt baths, meal planning, my 12-hour fast overnight. I could add other things to this, like I try and journal in each week. I try to do some sort of, I take my supplements each day. That's a daily habit. I try to have like a good 12, 24 hours off of internet, social media, try and do that every week, although I'm not actually that great at it, but I'm working on it. But I hope that helps and helps inspire you to think, okay, what are some of the daily and weekly habits that you could do? And how much are you doing already to really, really help with your body? Because it's so easy. We often just give ourselves such a hard time. Whereas actually, you're probably already doing great things in a week, and why not celebrate them? Set yourself up for success. Don't beat yourself up because you don't manage to do this one thing every single day. If you do it weekly, then that's brilliant. You're doing a great job. So I hope this has been helpful. And as always, I know when people say this on podcasts, it can sound trite, but I really mean, I do love hearing from you. I don't create a podcast just so I can hear the sound of my own voice. I actually find hearing the sound of my own voice still really awkward. I do it because I want to connect with you. I want to help you along your health journey. I want to provide you with the information that you need. So if you have questions, if you're struggling, if you feel confused and overwhelmed, I honestly would love to help you. You can head over to Supernaturally Healthy on Instagram or on Facebook. Message me there. Send me a direct message. Leave a comment on one of my posts. I honestly love connecting with you. I create this podcast takes energy, it takes money, it takes time, but I create it because I genuinely want to see you feeling awesome so that you can get on with living your best life. So do be in touch. Otherwise, I will see you next week. Bye. I just want to hop on quickly to tell you a little bit more about how you can work with me. So I am a holistic nutritionist and I work with people on my online clinic, helping women who are fed up of feeling fatigued, who are sick of being stuck and are done with being bloated, uncomfortable, craving sugar, feeling like they're wading through treacle and just not feeling great. Maybe it's the weight, maybe it's your hormones, maybe you're in pain, maybe it's just the energy and the fatigue. You're just feeling stuck and fed up and you probably tried things on your own. You've tried implementing things, but you've either ended up giving up because you felt like you were making effort and not seeing any results and were frustrated, or are just totally overwhelmed at what to do. If that sounds like you, then I would love to work with you. If you're ready to just get that personalized, private, one-to-one support and see some real results and real shifts, then head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org and you can click on the Work With Me page, find out a little bit more about it, fill in a form, we can hop on a phone and you can just figure out if this is the right fit for you, if you want it, if I can help you, you can answer your questions. I would love to chat to you in real life, guys. Honestly, I love hopping on the phone with people that listen to the podcast. And I've got space for some new clients, and I've worked with hundreds of women, and I'm confident I can help you. If that sounds like you, I know that within 14 weeks, woofed, you could feel a whole lot more awesome. So head over to Supernaturally Healthy, click on the Work With Me page, or they'll put a link in the show notes. And I look forward to chatting with you soon.